As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
Actually, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, interim manager of the Boston Red Sox. First of all, thank you. Thank you for all that you do, all that you are. And I
appreciate
that. And I said to you, like, this is, I mean, I'm not just saying this. It's obviously a unique situation, but I think that you've handled it really, really well. And listen, I don't know, like, you've handled it well because you win some games, but also just handle. I guess that's it's ultimate. It's a results business, but also
it's
just
a combination of factors. I guess.
Yeah, it's like, but also like that. You know, it's, I always say that's like throwing the cougar in the car, right? Are you a big Talladega Nights guy? You
know, I know that.
Yeah. So the cougar in the car, yeah. Right? Yeah. So like you're like someone's saying, "Hey, lower your heart rate, Ricky Bobby,"
right.
But you did that from the get-go. Like, I don't know if that's just sort of your personality, if you had to sort of consciously do that or not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think probably a combo of both. Like, I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't have moments where, you know, especially early, where you go in there and just tell yourself, like, take a deep breath, you know, just be who you are. One foot in front of all the cliche things that people tell themselves, one foot in front of the other. But I did. I was trying to think that way to, you know, not make it bigger than it needed to be. That being said, like, you know, I've been around the game for a really long time, have spent the last 5 years in Worcester, and there's a big media contingent there, you know, probably bigger than most places, and I had to, you know, answer questions on a daily basis.
Which sometimes, you know, by the way, we trickle up to Boston
right.
A lot of times.
I was going to say, like, when I came into the room here, I was like, most of the Boston media, the Red Sox media, they've been into Worcester multiple, so I knew the faces. Mm-hmm. So when you kind of looked at it that way, you're like, just don't make it bigger than it is. And I think it was important too for the guys, like, you know, that was important to me. Like, if they see some calming presence, like, there's no panic.
So that's what I was going to ask you. So you say, like, there's sometimes that you have to remind yourself. What was the times you remember having to remind yourself of
that? I think the first couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, knowing, going into, like, Baltimore and knowing what had occurred and the people that it mattered to me that were no longer there. Mm-hmm. And just, it can speed up in your mind on the different questions you might have to answer. In addition to, well, besides all that, I got to address the team, talk to the team, and make sure that I, you know.
What was that like? I don't want to interrupt you. But
believe,
like,
it or not, like, that part I was less worried about. Just that I said that to them. Just I know the players very well. I managed most of them in Worcester, probably 75% of them. And then, you know, there's some of the veterans that maybe weren't on my roster, but they rehabbed with me. So, like, I felt, you know, I know there's other veterans that I hadn't had, like, you know, like, I hadn't had Garrett or Sonny or Chappie or Ranger or any of that. Like, so, you know, there's work to do, and I'm very honest with them, like, I got to earn your trust.
Is that what you said to him?
Yeah. So, but that being said, knowing you're going to, the audience, then you're going to look out and faces, I know the faces and they know me and they've been around me. I felt like that would probably be one of the easier things to do. just being, be me. I told myself, be you, and they know who you are, and we'll go from there.
So if that's one of the easier things, what was one of the harder things?
I just think not knowing, you know, like, you know, but you don't know, not knowing, hope you're hoping you're going to be received well, like, what's the media going to look like, you know, what are the questions going to entail, especially in the initial stages of, you know, coming into I was coming into, and just feeling like, get through that day and feel like you did it right, you know, and not feel like,
you know. Did you feel that way?
I did at the end, you know. I mean, I felt like you take a deep breath at the end and kind of like, okay, I think I handled that properly, and I maybe think I portrayed the message I wanted to portray. But going into that, you know, on very little sleep at that point on a day game, and you're kind of have all those thoughts in your head, it was an exhausting day.
That's one of the things that, do you sleep? Wait, have you slept? I mean, because there's different...
I do sleep. It takes me a while to fall asleep.
Yeah.
I do sleep. But I don't sleep a lot. It's not like I'm getting 8 hours a night, but like
But did you sleep that first?
The first night... When I got to Baltimore leading into the first game, I didn't sleep very well.
Wait, was the Saturday
night? Saturday night, I didn't sleep very well, no.
You were running on no sleep?
No, I mean, I got to the hotel. It was, I don't know, it was, you know, 1:30 or closer to 2 a.m. before I even got up to my room, and when I did, I probably laid there till like 3:30 or 4 in the morning. Yeah.
What was going through? Like, what was
just all those things, you know, like all of those things. In addition to, you're about to manage in the big leagues for the first time at Camden Yards, you know, it's like just it wasn't. And then all the, like, you know, I hope I get received well by the group, and like just there's a lot of things that go through your head in that moment. And then, believe it or not, like then that night, because we left there, went to Toronto,
yeah,
got in kind of a little later. But the adrenaline of all that, I still didn't sleep very good the next night. It took a while to fall asleep. I did sleep, but it was like I found myself staring at the clock, like, how am I not asleep by now? So, but I think that's going to be kind of normal. It takes me a while to wind down. And when I do, I'll fall asleep and sleep pretty hard, but I just don't sleep a ton.
Sometimes, I've always said this to guys, like, sometimes somebody says something that just hits, and you just don't even realize it's going to have the impact. And I don't know if early on, we're still early in the process, but early on, if somebody said something or something happened that made you feel okay,
yeah,
you know.
Garrett.
Okay, really?
Garrett grabbed me. Whit grabbed me. That coming down, walking from my room down to the bus, the first bus, and I'm like, here we go, you know.
In Baltimore.
Yeah. Okay. And I saw Whit, and he grabbed me, and we chatted for a second, put his arm around me, and just, you know, I won't say everything, but just in essence was like, this group knows you, this group loves you. Like,
yeah.
Fully support you. Like, we got your, like, that moment right there, like, from that talk, and then walking 5 steps onto the bus changed everything for me.
Isn't it amazing how sometimes that happens?
That conversation, because of who he is, too, and what I know he means to this team, and his role, and how respected he is. That little quick talk right there, I was like, all right, we got
this. Do you think that, I'm going to psychoanalyze this, but do you think that it had even more of an effect because he's not one of the guys you mentioned who's coming up from Worcester? Like, right. And like, listen, I mean, after that game, he had some pretty pointed remarks about it. I mean, people could perceive that as, well, he was among the most upset, but that showed you that he had a pretty even keel about the situation, right?
Right. I think Whit didn't play for me, but he did. He rehabbed a couple
times. Right. And I mean, he knows
him,
you.
I've been around spring training with him.
But he's a veteran. Yeah.
I know him very well. But I think you're not wrong, but like also his ability to separate one situation from the other.
That's what I mean.
And then look at me and say, like, regardless of what's happening here, like, that's fine. That's that. We know who you are, and that part, like him and me understanding that too. So I get that. Like, I understand.
That's what I mean. It's almost like the perfect guy I can see.
Right. Again. So, and when he talks, and you feel those comments from him, and you know he's a big influence in the locker room, like, it makes you feel like, okay, like, this is a good way to start. You know,
one of the things when people say, and if you have to run, let me know.
Yeah.
But one of the things that people say about the, you know, you have these guys coming up, they know you. But, you know, the counter to that is, and you would have a much better perspective of this, is, yeah, but they're different. Like, they're different. Their existence is different than when you were with you, right? Yeah. And I don't know if you factor that in, if you see that. I mean, listen, I mean, they're still, they go from 22 to 24, 24 to 26, right. whatever. But still, they're making more money.
Right.
They've right. everything. So anyway, does you know? Have you seen that number one? And also, have you factored that in?
Yeah. Like to your point, like the stakes are higher.
Yeah.
Like now,
yeah.
they're like trying to. You get to the point now. You're trying to win contracts and make more money and get all stars. So yeah, there's it's a completely different environment than when I had them before. I think when I say, when I've made the comments or like, hey. They know me. I know them. I'm talking more about personal, not baseball, right? Like, I think in a locker room, and I've played a lot of years, and it's like in a locker room, the biggest thing for players is like if you feel like you know the manager, you know who he is, his character. I know the players and who their character are, and you feel like you're gonna get consistency from the manager. You're gonna, you know, he's gonna have my back. I might not always like everything he does, but like he's honest, right? Those are the things I'm talking about. That plays no matter if you're in the big leagues, AAA, A ball, right? Like who you are as a person, or who you try to be as a person. That is more what I refer to there, and I feel like that was always important to me down there with those players, is like that they know that I'm there for them and I got their back, and I think they know that. And I knew, you know, having had them, like these guys will give me their best.
I've heard you answer this question about before about what you learned from your dad. Like you said, I mean, when I hear people ask you that question about, oh, what do you learn from your dad? I'm like, dude, like that is too broad a question, man. Like, you're going to like think a million things. I've learned a lot, right? But and there is very few father-son relationships where you can specifically say, you took over after X amount of games in a major league season.
Right.
But I think I've heard you say the specific part about it was the communication of it all, and you just mentioned this, right? And your dad had one of the most epic runs for an interim manager ever.
Yeah.
So even if you weren't related to him, I would give him a call.
Right.
Say, hey, I'd like to introduce myself to you. I'm Chad Tracy.
Right.
But that would that be accurate that, like, to you, like, having talked to him, that was the thing? You just gotta like listen. You gotta communicate. You gotta know.
Big time. I think he would tell you. Just subtle differences in the situations. He was not as familiar with those players. You know, he had 40 games, whatever, before that happened. Mm-hmm. That was his first year in the organization. Mm-hmm. This is my fifth year in the organization. But yeah, he was very. We talked, and I think he would tell you like just very subtle consistency. Like, you know, like very. Even keel, started having conversations, tried to, everything he did, it started, you know, provided, you know, I think looking, providing more and more stability, like this looks the same as yesterday, like nothing drastic changed, just trying to get to know his group and be consistent on a daily basis. And that was, you know, I think coming in for me, it was like coming in with a heavy hand. I think guys like Witt, Garrett, and people like that, like that's probably not going to work. I'm going to come in and just change everything. Like just come in and get to know them and provide consistency and be able to show like whether things are going really well or not so well. Like he doesn't seem to change. Like that's important.
What were you, 24?
Where were at you? That time?
Yeah.
2012, yeah.
It was about 09? That. 09?
It was 2009, yeah. Yeah.
What do you, I mean,
about that?
You were in the minors.
Yeah.
Right? So you're like,
yep. Double A.
Were you nervous for your dad?
I mean, not really.
No.
No, because he had so much experience at that point.
Yeah, but, yeah.
I mean, nervous for him in the sense of like, you know, it's not something he was expecting and it was a newer group. And, you know, it's wasn't going, but yeah, in that sense. But no, at the same time, because he had already done it for about 7-8 years at that point.
He had already, that was kind of a stupid question, because he had already carved out his thing. You were trying to carve out your
thing.
This
is my first time. He at his point there, I think he had, you know, he had managed 5 years in LA and two in Pittsburgh. He was 7 years in as a big league manager. I think for him, big league managing was like, I'll be fine, you know, so it's a little different scenario.
When did you know that you wanted to be a manager?
I think I always knew that. I think I knew, I mean, my hope was I was going to play for 15 years in the big leagues, you know, and, shoulder injuries and different things, as you know, God has other plans sometimes. It's just not gonna make that work. So I played as long as I could, but I think all my years in high school and college, when he was in LA, coming home, I'd wait up, we'd talk baseball.
Really?
I loved it. I watched all the games, watched strategy, watched what he was doing. I'd ask questions, you know, and he would sit. A lot of times it would just be maybe me and him, and my other brothers would be there, but I'd talk to him and ask him, and I would just pick his brain.
You were fascinated.
Listen,
by it.
I was very fascinated by
really?
It. Like the strategy behind the game and decisions and why you're doing things you're doing, that most people just think, oh, just pick a name out of a hat. Like just watching that, I always, from that moment, I always said, like, I think I'm going to play for a long time. And then after I'm done, I think I want to coach. I think I want to manage. So I knew, but I just didn't know when that would be.
Two last things. What is the thing about managing, like, at the major league? You've managed before, but managing the major league level, that's different? The obvious answer is obviously the stakes are higher.
Right.
Bullpen usage, everyone mentions, like, that speeds up.
Right.
But is there anything that jumps out for you?
I think that one is, like, you manage a...
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Bullpen, like, you're diligently studying lineups, pockets of hitters where you could use guys, and it, like, after the fifth inning, it becomes like you literally, like, in your head start counting. You know, you got four innings, 12 outs, like, you start, especially if you're winning, and you're literally, like, piecing together, like, I can get three there, three, like, that's what it's about. In the minors, it's about, we got 12 outs left, like, well, he can give us two and he can give us, it's just not the same. You're just trying to cover it, you know. So the preparation level of, like, actually unloading arms and also doing it in a fashion, like, all right, if he throws to three hitters, you know he's up to net, they can throw more down there, like, they throw a couple innings, they're down for 3 days. They can be to protect the resources, but here it's like you do it in a fashion, it's like, well, do that, they're all up tomorrow. It's like they're available, they're ready, and you're counting outs and trying to figure out how do we get those 12 outs.
Yeah.
And that's just a different.
And you're probably already a lot better at it than even, like, in 2 weeks.
For sure. Bales has been incredible.
I'm not saying, like, you weren't good at it.
No, but I mean, it's just like anything, if you haven't, everybody's better at something when you're in practice with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're not in practice with it, like, it takes you. I did tell those guys, like, I'm a quick study. So, like, the what we go over before the game, Bales and Holti and D Rose and me and Flo, like, Chuck, we're all looking at it. And from day one to now, like, I'm seeing it through Bale's eyes. He's seeing it through my eyes. And so it's fine now. But, like, it just the first couple of days, it was, you know, watching and learning, like, you know, how you go about that process. But yeah, quick study.
That's good.
Yeah.
You've done well. The last thing, I mean, not that you need to hear that from me, but yeah, the last thing is, I joked, I think that we saw in Toronto, oh, you get to take a flight and you get to have, like, the menu. And you reminded, like, you had done it before. Like,
yeah.
You had done it before with your dad.
Yeah.
But still, like, still,
yeah.
when they come into the hotel and they turn over your room and they put slippers down next to your bed every time, right? You know,
they didn't fit me. They don't fit me. I tried. You put them on. I was like, these don't fit.
You put them in your bag and you gift them to somebody. So what is the thing that's sort of like, you know, obviously the buses and the, like,
all of that. I joke with, like, you know, Catch was talking to me about a hotel, and, you know, in Detroit or whatever, and I was like, you know, Catch, I was gonna be at the Fairfield Inn in Rochester this week. I'm good, man. I'm doing really good. You don't have to ask me any questions about anything.
But you don't have the red roofie in points.
No.
Yeah.
So all of that is, you know, obviously, I think everybody knows when you get there, like, some of the amenities and things that come with it are pretty awesome. You just feel taken care of. But yeah, that, and, like, going into a room and there's maybe a bottle of bourbon there and you got, you know, 3 days worth of, so it's just the slippers.
The slippers always,
or, like, you know, maybe some of the rooms that's like, it's not a switch, like, you push a button and things open. So those are all different.
That can be good and bad. You can spend, like, an hour trying to figure out.
I'm used to having to open my curtains manually.
See, that you just summed it up all right there.
Yeah.
But thank you so much.
You got it.
Some follow the noise. Bloomberg follows the money. Because behind every headline is a bottom line. Whether it's the funds fueling AI or crypto's trillion-dollar swings, there's a money side to every story. And when you see the money side, you understand what others miss. Get the money side of the story. Subscribe now at Bloomberg.com.